Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Kind of good thing, like, you know, we're relaxing, we're chilling, and right now it's kind of getting boring right now.
Alex Ovechkin's bored, so you're not alone, I guess. Welcome back, EB and Grant Paulson with you on 106.7 The Fan on this Sunday. It's the Q, I believe, is what we've been told.
Sure.
Would work to call this thing. Look, Ovi says he's bored, which is fine. One of the reasons he might be bored is because he went on to say, and this was a conference call he did with reporters and some other NHL stars the other day, his show that he's binging, like his big show that he's watching incessantly, is Deal or No Deal.
Okay.
What a random show to watch, like 10 of at a time.
Is that even still on?
No, but I'm guessing one of these streaming services has all the seasons, right. So you just watch 8 of them. That's like watching The Family Feud. I mean, there's nothing wrong with those shows, but if you've watched one, you've watched them all. It's the same thing over and over and over.
Well, I've kind of am guilty of that, too. It's not a game show in that sense, but I've stumbled onto, during this quarantine time, Naked and Afraid. And I keep talking about it on the show. I'm blown away by it. I mean, you know, I watched Survivor with my daughter because it's just something that we do together. She loves it. And, you know, everyone has enjoyed Survivor at one point or another in their life. But Naked and Afraid just is Survivor on steroids. I mean, can you imagine going somewhere, you know, I don't know where, the Himalayas or wherever the hell they drop you off, some jungle somewhere, and you have to take off your clothes, throw them in the truck, and then you meet a stranger of the opposite sex. She drops her clothes, and then now you have 21 days to survive with one. They've given you, you can bring one item. So usually somebody brings a knife, and then the other person brings some flint to start a fire. And usually it rains the whole time. You can barely start the fire. You have to kill your own food. They don't give you rice like they do on Survivor.
How real is all this?
It appears to be extremely real. Like
legit. Like they're not going to hotels and stuff like that.
No. Not like the guy. Who was the guy that was doing that show?
Bear Grylls.
Yeah, Bear Grylls. No. This is legit. They're getting like bugs and leeches in their privates. They're getting bitten all over. They're just getting downpoured. There are like bears and lions walking around their campsite at night. The fire is the only thing keeping them. There are deadly snakes that they're having to try to kill to eat. It is the most incredible show I've ever seen, and yet it's sort of the same thing every week, just different people. And I can't get enough of it. I truly can't get enough of it.
So I thought it was like season long, like Survivor, where it's like 15 episodes of the same groups.
It's a 1 hour episode of them. And here's the sick part about it. They're not competing for $1 million. They appear to be competing for nothing. They appear to be competing for a survival rating. So some group of survivor experts or whatever, survivalists, give them a rating to start the show, like a 6.5 or an 8.2. And then at the end of the show, if you survive, they give you a rating. Or if you leave, you bow out after 10 days or whatever, then they downgrade your rating. But that's it. There's no cash involved. There can't be any fame. Nobody cares if you're on Naked and Afraid. I don't know. I challenge you and your wife to sit down one night and just watch a couple episodes.
Yeah, I might try. I mean, I've got nothing better to do at this point. So I finished Jack Ryan, both seasons on Amazon Prime. I thought
is that as good as people say?
Phenomenal.
The so first that should be season, my next one.
Absolutely. The first season of Jack Ryan, I give a 9 out of 10. The second season, probably like a 7.5 or so. I think if I'd never watched the first season, I'd like the second season more. It's not as good. But they are both great and kind of combined as a series. Very, very good. Strong, high remarks. I give it a lot of Buffalo Wings out of 10. I've also watched, also on Amazon Prime, All or Nothing, which is like the in-season Hard Knocks. They've done the Eagles, the Panthers, the Cowboys, the Cardinals.
Who has that?
That's Amazon Prime.
Amazon,
so
okay.
I went back and watched the 18 Panthers with Ron Rivera just to see Scott Turner and all those guys and how they coach.
Is it good?
Very, very, very good. Awesome.
You gives you good meetings. Insight into Rivera?
100%.
Right,
great stories. I'm telling you, as a mark for the Skins, you'll love that. And then last year was the Eagles. So I watched that even though there's no relevance necessarily to the Redskins other than the couple games they played. But it's just, if you like Hard Knocks, it's in, in-season Hard Knocks.
Right. No, I'm all about it. I don't even think I knew that they did that as far back as a couple years ago. I don't even think
five
I knew
seasons
that.
Now.
Yeah. No, I'm all in. I got to watch that because I want more insight into Rivera.
You'll get that. You'll absolutely get that. And now I'm on Tiger King. I've done 3 episodes. I'll try to finish that.
Do you like
tonight.
Tiger King?
I really like it. I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah.
To me, it's just amazing that these people exist among us.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my wife, so I had to keep rewatching it. So I finally got through it. But I had to keep rewatching it because I'm so tired. I kept falling asleep and I would have to start the episode over. And so my wife watched the series like 3 times before I finally got through it. She's completely disturbed by it.
How could you not be?
Yeah. I mean, everyone's weird. They all have some, there's a weird sort of sexual thing that's going on, right? Like
right.
Where they're like attracting women or guys based on their fascination with these exotic animals.
So strange.
It's the most bizarre thing ever. And what I find even crazier are the people that go to these rinky-dink little zoos that seem they have no regulations, and they're allowing their children to go in there and pet these tigers with these maniacs, these guys that look like they should be carnival barkers.
Well, how about the woman that works there? And they basically attract to work at these places. Most of these people have either criminal backgrounds or down on their luck. You know, they have no other options.
Yeah.
But this one woman gets her arm literally chewed off by a tiger.
Right.
Just completely bitten off. And all these people are doing interviews without arms and legs and stuff. And you're sitting there going, all these people have been eaten alive, basically. So this woman is medevaced out of there after getting her arm just bit off, like, you know, as if she sliced through a banana. And she's back at work 6 days later because she doesn't want anyone to think badly of the animals.
Yeah. No, insanity. It's complete insanity. Apparently, Joe Exotic is going through all of these boyfriends and husbands and everything. And most of these guys apparently are straight, but somehow he's turning them, having these relationships, and they're meth
heads.
Based
on the animals somehow.
And then it turns out, I'm reading this morning, there was another guy he was married to that wasn't even on the show.
Wow.
It's the most bizarre show ever. I think it's about 2 or 3 hours too long, but it has clearly captured the fascination of the country.
Well, here's where it got lucky, the timing of it, right?
Yeah.
So there have been a lot of these classic Netflix documentaries that got really popular that everyone said, you got to go watch that. Like the last one I watched was Don't Bleep with Cats.
Yeah.
If any of those came out right now, it'd be the same thing.
Yes.
This is a captive audience. Everyone's at home. Everyone's looking for content. This happens to be the version of that this month, and this is when everyone's sitting at home looking for something to watch. So it's going to get the most run probably in the history of any of those documentaries.
But I'm on to Ozark Season 3 now because I was a huge Ozark fan. I think this is also great timing for Ozark because are winding down off of the Joe Exotic or Tiger King thing. So I'll do that. And then I think I'm going to do Jack Ryan because JP's been telling me for months now that I got to watch Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan was awesome.
What first do you compare it to?
I would say it's got some, like almost like some Zero Dark 30. You know, if you've seen that movie, like any of those films where we're chasing down Bin Laden and things like that.
Right.
What's the Damon movies where he's like the special agent?
Oh, yeah, the Bourne stuff.
Almost like a Bourne with maybe like Zero Dark 30, something like that.
Is it plausible at all?
See, that stuff's generally important to me, and I would say yes, by and large, it is.
Because the board stuff is not like all the crazy kung fu he does on the guys.
Mission Impossible and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but the first season is way more practical and like of this earth. The second season, I would say, is a little – you're suspending some reality. But I'm willing to do that. Like when I watch Mission Impossible and they're just touching all these gadgets that don't exist and the, you know, Tony Stark style bringing down like screens in front of them in a fake like room that they're in – you don't get a lot of that in this. It's very much like, oh, I could see the CIA having something like this I don't know about.
Are you an Ozark guy or no? You don't sound like you are.
Loved season one. Didn't get through season two. But now that this is going on, I'll probably go back, revisit two, and watch three.
See, here's the thing. I'm not that smart. And I know our audience knows that. But when I watch these shows, I have to then go to Reddit and read about all of the things that I missed. And then I can catch up, or I have to watch it twice, and then I can move on. Because so much happens in these shows that I'm just totally not catching. Way over my head. Callbacks to things in the first season, second season, things that are telling for what's going to happen here in the future. I catch none of it at first glance, ever.
Yeah, I like Bateman in everything he does.
Oh, he's amazing.
And this dark version of him, which he kind of introduced initially in the season of Ozark that got this whole thing started, I'm all in on. It's just that I don't know why. Probably as much as anything else, I was busy, but I didn't get through the second season, so it's not an option right now. But
yeah,
I'll probably hop in on it. Next, let's get into Ovi. He wants the NHL to come back and start immediately with the playoffs. So, Eric, he's saying no ramp-up games, no camps.
Yeah.
Like, we report and we play playoff games. Is that even feasible? We'll talk about that next. Eric and Grant on the Fan. If you had March 29th, 2020, Eric Bickle, Grant Paulson, 106.7 The Fan, Sunday tandem in the office pool, you're the big winner. No Nats, no baseball, no nothing. But we are here for you, keeping you company. Danny and Pete will be by at the top of the hour. Alex Ovechkin was on a conference call with reporters this week. He was asked when hockey resumes again. I guess we're just assuming hypothetically that it will, so we're not sure. But if and when the NHL comes back to finish its season, what should happen? This was Ovi.
We don't want to play that extra games, but I know for different guys who fight for a playoff spot, and we still are fighting for a playoff spot, but I'd rather start in playoffs right away. Sorry, guys.
Start in the playoffs immediately. I mean, if you look, EB, right now at the NHL standings, at who's in and who's out, the cutoff in the conferences is basically a bunch of teams jumbled up within a few points. Can you just pick up and leave teams out that were one or two wins away with 13 games to play? Is that fair to them? And then secondly, and this is more important to me because there's a lot of things that aren't fair that are going on right now. Bad optics. And you just say, well, sorry, the optics don't matter anymore. This is crappy for everybody. But the thing that I think is the real issue is how could you possibly just play game one of the playoffs if you're the Caps against pick your Eastern Conference opponent, having not had any ramp-up time or games? Like Jacob Vrana goes from being on a treadmill a couple times a day to just playing in the playoffs? That doesn't seem right.
No, it's not going to work. I think they'd probably have to play at least half dozen games. They're almost like exhibitions, you know, to get
back.
That
are meaningful, right?
They would have an impact.
They
would have an impact, but you got to give guys an opportunity to skate together, to make this have any sense at all. The problem is just sort of the mere timeline of it. I just don't see a scenario where they're going to be able to pull this off. I really don't. I think we're in lockdown mode for 6 weeks, 2 months more still before you can even really ponder this.
Are you considering this lockdown mode, or you're saying even worse than this?
Yeah, this is basically it. I mean, that might tighten the screws on some areas a little more, but
think about 6 more weeks of this. So let's just do the math. So that would mean, let's say today's April 1 or close to it. So basically, you're talking about
June 1.
Okay, so June 1.
I know this. My daughter's volleyball club is pessimistically hoping that by June 1 they could get the girls back in the gym together again. By June 1, that's sort of what the volleyball folks are thinking.
Could you? This is something I've heard. I don't buy this at all, for the record, and I can tell you why. But I want to bounce it off you. We'll use the NHL since that's what we're talking about right now. If you can test players and they're clean,
yeah.
could you have them participate and kind of keep them away from everybody else and start the games without fans? Like the clean players get to start playing. And like, let's say whether it's June 1 or the end of May, you have a few weeks before that of training camp where the coaches and the players that are okay are all involved. And then you play the five or six games. Then we start the playoffs. Could they do it that way?
They could, but you have to really think about this, though, because there are ramifications. Because if they go home to their families and then their families get infected, now they're not clean anymore. You know what I mean? And it's going to take them a few days, and it's going to – the only way you could really do it is if, like, sort of the league – if you wanted to do it sort of by the letter of the law, the league kind of quarantined themselves, right? So all the players were tested. They're all clean. The test's valid. And then they all live it with each other, limit contact with the rest of the world, and they just live in their own bubble. And sort of the league is in their own bubble, and there's no fans or very, very limited fans where they're spread out throughout the arena.
Yeah.
I think that's a scenario potentially. Did you see the image? There was an inter-squad baseball game going on in Japan. Did you see that? Where the guys are actually playing baseball in Japan with they look like professional players, and they're wearing masks.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you could do that in hockey. I don't even know if that's necessary with all the equipment that they're wearing. But I think you could do it, but you can't just test the guys and then let them go back to the regular world because that's where they're going to get infected.
Which is why I don't think this will work. I think it does sound good to say, hey, if these guys don't have it and they can play in the games, then let them play in the games. The first time I heard about this, Adam Silver was actually talking about doing this, where he was going to have some type of like mini tournaments for basketball fans. Hey, let's test some guys. Let's make sure they're clean. And then maybe they could have these little mini tourneys. The problem is it doesn't mean that you stay without COVID-19. And to your point, you're going to have to leave your family for weeks or you're not allowed to interact with any other humans who haven't been tested.
Yeah, if they quarantine themselves. That's the only way they could do it. They'd have to have like their own team hotel, their own team bus driver, their own team sort of chef. And they're just all sort of living in a bubble. I mean, it's the most bizarre thing that you can think of. You might be able to work around it, but I mean, to really do it by the letter of the law, you know, it would take a lot of thought.
As of right now, I think NHL comes back before NBA. If either come back, it'll be hockey. We've had one hockey player who has tested positive as opposed to the number of people in the NBA. Now, I think the reason for that is the number of tests. You know, the NBA immediately started testing full teams after what happened with Rudy Gobert. To my knowledge, the NHL has not done that. So there's probably a lot more people in hockey than we know, just like in society, that have it if they tested than we know. But for the reason that there's only been the one positive test, I can see hockey coming back. I just don't think Ovi's idea that we just start right away with the playoffs and we don't play any more games. That can't work. You need to, A, give teams a chance to make it, and B, EB, you got to get guys ready. The playoffs are just such a rigorous quality of hockey. Like, think about how bad the playoff games would be if they just came off their treadmills to play game one against the Panthers.
No, it'd be dreadful, and it has too much meaning. I have too much respect for the sport to do that. And the other thing is, when you think about it, because I think of lacrosse sort of in the same way, I'm always putting this back in my world, these guys are pretty protected in the NHL. I think they could play and probably not cross-contaminate each other, but the problem is when they go back in the locker room. And that's where they're going to contaminate each other or when they go back into their regular lives. You know what I mean? But I actually think you could play hockey kind of like – it kind of reminds me of when Magic retired from the NBA when he tested positive for HIV. There were kind of multiple reasons for it. One, he didn't want to wear down his immune system. But two, there was also a real – there was some uncertainty about how people could contract this. If I'm defending Magic – and he gets some of his blood or sweat on me, am I going to now be HIV positive? I don't know if you're old enough to remember that sort of dilemma that was out there.
Right.
And that was part of the reason why Magic retired. Turns out that, you know, it did change the way the trainers deal with athletes now. They have to wear the gloves, and if there's blood, you have to go immediately off the court and be addressed. But there was had to be sort of a learning curve on how this can be spread to each other. I think in hockey, you could play it and not spread it to each other.
Baseball-wise, I saw Aaron Boone, the manager of the Yankees, saying he wants at least 3 weeks. Mike Trout came out and said, probably need 1 month for pitchers for spring training.
Oh, yeah, think about that.
So whenever they even are allowed to get back together, which is going to be a little while, it's going to take at least a month to try to build arm strength back up. And my guess is, you know, you're not going to have pitchers going 7, 8, 9 innings early, or maybe at all, depending on how many games are played, because they're not going to build their arms up. It's going to be, you know, 5 innings here. They're going to expand the rosters. You'll have extra relievers, and there's going to be a lot more offense because you're going to have some, you know, middle relievers pitching that wouldn't have otherwise in these games to get through 9 innings. Baseball's got a lot of things to sort out.
If I had to bet, Grant, we're not going to have any of this because we haven't even talked about the second wave, the flu season that's going to come back, which always comes back in September, October, November, December. So if I had to put money on it right now, I would say there's going to be no NBA, there's going to be no NHL, there's going to be no MLB, and I'm not sure how they're going to squeeze in an NFL season.
Man, do I hope you're wrong.
Yeah.
That would be devastating. It already stinks. I mean, everything going on is odd, but I mean, that would be one way to kind of feel normal again if we could get sports back. Larry Hogan, the governor of Maryland, was on with EB and the Junks this week. If you didn't hear that interview, get a chance to next right here on The Fan. Earlier on this 3-hour Eric Bickle, Grant Paulson extravaganza on this Sunday, you heard some of our big interview of the week on Grant and Danny, the agent for Trent Williams, Vince Taylor. EB, you guys had one heck of a guest yourselves.
Yeah, it was great. We had an opportunity to get the governor on. His people were reaching out. They wanted to get their message out. I think it was like Tuesday of this week. Seems like a lifetime ago. Be fascinating, though, to rehear this and to hear sort of how things have changed so quickly. But I think the message is still the same. But here's our interview with Governor Hogan, where we kind of joke about getting him on the show.
It took a pandemic to get me on your your show. You know, it's like, well, you know, when hell freezes over, you know, I'll come on the Junkies. Guys, thank you very much. And by the way, you're an essential business. That's why I'm glad you're still open, because you know, people are at home and they need to have something to take their mind off of, you know, bad news and listening to all the things that are happening. So thanks for being on there and making people laugh. And you know, I'm a PG County boy myself, so you know, a DeMatha guy. So
that's,
I know,
right.
I know some of you guys moved on and moved out to Montgomery County, but
Virginia,
it's part of your state,
or even deserted us to Virginia.
Yeah, I know. But, I know.
Does Governor Hogan know that we slept at the mansion before he was governor?
We did.
Yeah, we did.
I've heard that story. I know. You know, Bob Ehrlich was a friend of mine. I remember when you know, he was having you guys over the house. I guess that, you know, maybe when the pandemic's over, we can have you guys over to do that again.
We had a nice dinner.
That'd be
awesome.
We had
a nice dinner over there. We did the whole nine.
I mean, Jason maybe stole some cutlery.
Yeah, I did.
That's probably true. I know we're missing a few pieces. I didn't know it was
that was because of me.
Now, Governor, now, I've got a lot of questions for you. I literally wrote 20 of them. I know you're busy. So let's.
No, we got some time. Let's do it.
Okay, let's go. All right, so let's cut to the chase here. First of all, how are we doing on this whole 15-day thing? I think, by and large, you have your morons that could go to the beach or the tidal basin or whatever. But by and large, I've been blown away at how sort of overnight people have tried to transition and tried to do the right thing, work from home, keep their kids home. I've been blown away. I know it's hard to see the results of it yet, but are you getting any indication? And then the second part of that question is, Gov, how are you going to figure out when we could slowly start to transition back in a safe way that we're not harming others? I mean, I don't want that virus coming back to me. You don't want it coming back to you. How do we do this?
Well, those are great questions, and there's not really easy answers, right? But if we have made a real difference, and I want to thank the vast majority of Marylanders who have really listened. They have stayed home. They are avoiding crowds. And look, this is very disruptive to people's lives, and it's very difficult. But I can promise you it really is helping, and it's helping to stop spread of the virus, which is why we had to close the schools. It's why we had to close some of these businesses. But if you look out in the streets, you know, people are really listening to that, and it's making a difference. But we just have some, you know, knuckleheads that are out there, you know, still gathering, doing crazy things. And that's what we're trying to stop, because they're actually this is no joke. I mean, they really are endangering themselves and their friends and their family by continuing to be out there helping to spread this virus, which is killing people.
Right.
So, you know, we're now up to 349 cases. We added 61 more cases yesterday. So it's continuing to rise in spite of all those things. And we're going to continue to try to, you know, stop it. We don't want to become New York. We don't want to be Italy. You know, we want to try to blunt the spread of this thing. And so most people are doing great. How do we know when it's you know, when it's effective, that there's no easy answer. I mean, you can't, you talk to the experts at the, we're talking to the leading docs at Hopkins and University of Maryland and NIH, and we're also talking to the federal folks, you know, every other day, and nobody has an answer about when exactly we can say there's not going to be a magic time where we go, it's all over, let's, everything's great, let's all go back to normal. But when we can start to see the numbers going down instead of up, and when we start to see that we think we have controlled it, I mean, it's going to spread, and people are going to get this disease, and some people are going to die. But when we can get back to normal, we don't know. I mean, it's we don't know how bad it's going to get or how long it's going to last. But I can promise you we're going to try to do everything we can to keep people safe and to get things back to normal as fast as we can.
Gov, how many consecutive days do you need to see the numbers decline before you start moving in that direction?
Well, that's a good question. So they say, you know, that if you go about 15 days with and you really can stop it, that's good. But it's right now it's all about testing, and there's not enough testing to know. You know, as soon as you ramp up the testing, the numbers skyrocket because a lot of people are out there with it that we just don't know about. So we're a little bit flying blind. But the social distancing stuff really will help, keeping apart, not being so close together. And the good news is, you know, we got a lot of practice on this, you know, throughout most of the season for the Redskins. There was social distancing going on.
That's definitely true.
There wasn't that many Hogan people in the stands, and they were spread out.
You know. That might continue.
So Governor Hogan, I had a question about the testing. And since you mentioned the Redskins, I know that Snyder said that FedEx may be open. Where can people go for testing if they have some symptoms, and what is going on with that FedEx site?
Yeah, so great news. So the FedEx site, the National Guard is setting up a screening and testing site there at FedEx Field, and we're ready to open that. The issue really is not setting up the site, which is relatively easy. We've got that one ready to go. We've got five drive-through admission centers ready to go and another dozen sites around the state. But just like every other state in America, we don't have the back-end testing capability in the labs. And they're trying to, as the president talked about yesterday, and some of the national leaders, are trying to reserve the testing for the people who really need it, which is the ones that are in the hospital, the ones that are really displaying symptoms. We don't want just every random person, tens of thousands of people, rushing to get tested when they don't need to, because there's a limited number of tests, and it takes them away from the people that are sick and really need the help. So you don't want to just have tens of thousands of people cramming into FedEx Field to get a test when they don't need to, only when their doctor recommends. So, but we're ready to do that. We appreciate, you know, the Redskins assisting with that at FedEx Field, and it's pretty much ready to go, and hopefully we'll get that ramped up and open up this week. And, you know, the good news is the Redskins are – not an essential business, and they're shut down, and you know, they're going to win the same number of games either way, whether they're playing or not.
Unbelievable. Get the shots
the
in there, Gov.
He is taking
all right,
some shots.
Gov. All right, so here's a question for you in terms of a lot of people are freaking out because, I mean, I don't care what people think about Trump, but because, he's trying to encourage people to not lose faith in the economy, et cetera, and say it's not going to be months or whatever. I mean, I think in a lot of ways he's just sort of a bluffer, but he's trying to – he doesn't want everything to fall apart.
Sure.
It seems to me what he's doing, Gov, is he's giving each individual governor and state the opportunity sort of to make their own decisions. So even if he decides, hey, we're going to open this back up and go to town on things in a week, you're going to have the freedom to still do whatever you want, right? It's on your timeline for Maryland.
Yeah, well, sure. Look, it's a terrible choice to make, but each governor is going to be making those choices. And even in his own administration, you got differences of opinion, right? So yesterday, the Anthony Fauci, who seems to be the smartest guy, he's the head CDC guy through NIH, saying, you know, we're not going to hit the peak until July, and it's going to continue to rise, and we shouldn't be opening up anything. And then you've got the Surgeon General saying it's going to get much worse. And then you had the president saying, hey, we're going to be ready to open up right away. So there are competing, voices and thoughts. And the situation is we have two terrible problems. One is we're trying to save people's lives.
Right.
And we're trying to make the difference between hundreds of thousands of people dying or just thousands of people dying. But we also don't want to kill the economy and the businesses and all the people who've lost their jobs. So we're trying to do to stop both of those. Yesterday we announced the additional social distancing stuff and shutting non-essential businesses, but we also launched all kinds of economic help here in the state for the people who are losing their jobs, for the small businesses so they can stay afloat. We're pushing the federal government to do the same thing. There's some economic help in Congress right now that's being tied up for days with stupid partisan bickering between the parties that we need to just get things done. Because right now, if ever there was a time for Democrats and Republicans to work together and just be Americans, now's the time. You can't say is the choice. Should we just let people die and just focus on the economy, or should we, try to save people and kill the economy? We don't want to do either one. We want to try to, solve both problems. And it's a very difficult thing to do.
When are you going to feel? You are a noted cancer survivor. When are you going to feel comfortable? We all have people in our families with cancer, or they have fought cancer, or have compromised immune systems.
Yeah.
When is it going to be safe to say, okay, it's okay for my kids to go back to school and bring that back home?
Yeah, well, no, that's one of the things I was talking about. All these older people, and I'm one of them, people over 60 and people that have some underlying health conditions, like, you're talking about your parents and grandparents are more impacted, and kids are coming back, people that are partying, they're having coronavirus parties and, thinking they're, bulletproof, and they're coming back from spring break. I mean, that we said they really should be quarantining themselves for 14 days. They shouldn't be around. They shouldn't be going to visit grandma. They shouldn't be hanging out because they really are risking endangering people. But the other thing I want to make clear to your listening audience is that it's no longer about just older people. I mean, about 40% of our cases are from 18 to 54, and they're not just people in their 70s and 80s. We have a guy on our communications team who has a best friend from high school from New York, who's 25-year-old star athlete in great shape, who is now on a ventilator in New York City in a hospital in very critical condition with this coronavirus. He had no underlying conditions. It's this thing. We have a 10-month-old, a 5-year-old. We're getting kids that are impacted. So it's not just, let's not worry about the older people and the sick people in the nursing homes. This has the potential to infect anybody.
Well, that's why it's so scary, Gov. How are we ever going to reintegrate and get back to normal? Some people see this and go, how are we ever going to do this?
Yeah, that's the scary thing, but there's a lot of really smart doctors at all the hospitals, the federal level, the state level. We have a group in a coronavirus response team that we talk to constantly, and it's really the smartest guys at every one of our hospital systems. And they're all working with the federal folks. We're working with the federal. We've had, I'm the chairman of the National Governors. We've had 5 different conference calls with every governor, with the president, vice president, all the whole team at the national level. And everyone's trying to figure this out. I mean, the world has never seen anything like this before. And it's not like there's no handbook for this. Nobody was prepared for it. And we don't have all the answers because it's a brand new strain, a brand new virus. There's no cure. There's no treatment, and there's no vaccine. And they're working on experimental things, but it's quite a while before we get a vaccine or some. The president was mentioning some experimental thing. Mm-hmm. We don't know if it'll work or not. It'll be months before it's ready. So the good news is we're starting in some countries to see it going down rather than up because of steps that they took, like we're doing now. These uncomfortable steps about, shutting down some of society and making people stay home, that it's not very much fun and it's pretty inconvenient, but it's a lot better than being Italy, where they're having 600 or 700 people a day dying and they're, locking down all of society.
We know you have to run, Gov. What about schools? What about Maryland schools?
Yeah. So we closed schools for a 2-week period while they could reassess and figure out what's going on with the virus and what they could do. Every governor in the country is talking about what to do about schools. The university system and all the colleges made the decision not to come back for the spring semester. Our superintendent of schools has been talking with all of the local superintendents across the state about options, about online learning, about sending home school projects for younger kids. And that decision is going to be made shortly. We don't want to bring kids back into an area, into a school system, when it's still at the peak of the virus and running the chance of getting a bunch of kids sick. And we also don't want to just have kids lose out on the opportunity to learn for the rest of the semester. So we're going to try to figure out how to solve that in the next few days and make some kind of an announcement.
Governor, we know you have to
really
run.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, can we get you on again?
Coronavirus.maryland.gov.
Yeah, let's come on. Absolutely. Love to come on. Yeah, coronavirus.gov is the place to go. You can get all the information. And I just please tell all of your guys, take it seriously. Be safe. We're all in this together. And stay home and listen to the junkies.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Let's do this
Thank
again
you.
Soon. Have your
Sound
people reach
advice.
Out. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks.
There's the governor, Larry Hogan, on the Junks. Great interview by you guys, EB. Obviously, a couple of those things there at the end. He was talking about at the time they just shut down for 2 weeks. We now know nobody's going to school for the rest of the year.
No,
Virginia,
I don't think so.
Maryland, otherwise. But great information from him. We could react to some of the things he said there and put a bow on the show next. Top of the hour at noon, Pete Medhurst, Danny Ruye right here on The Fan. Final few minutes, Eric and Grant on The Fan on this Sunday. All of your favorite shows and all of your hosts from our normal daily lineup are working on the weekend. Chad and Cakes yesterday with JP and Bishop doing two shows. Today, myself and EB kicking things off. And then Danny and Pete are with you from noon to 3 today, which will be a fun listen, so make sure you keep it right here. 9 minutes from now. What's on the docket for you the rest of the day, Eric?
Just stay safe, man. That's it. Cookout. Basically have a daily cookout. It's my excuse to drink. Are you drinking? You're not a big drinker. You don't strike me as a big drinker.
I am a drink cocktails at bars with buddies guy. I never really drink at home, so I have had almost nothing to drink for weeks.
So you don't drink to cope with all
this?
I do
not.
What do you
do? I eat to cope.
You eat, yeah. So I do both. I eat and I drink, and as soon as I fire up the grill, that's automatic permission to start drinking. So I love that. I'm trying to do that every night. We're trying to have a fire pit thing with the family every other night. Hopefully the rain holds off. But basically, yeah, just trying to stay low-key, just trying to stay chill, trying to keep my kids from killing each other. Just trying to keep everybody safe, man. You know, it's crazy. We had Hogan on Tuesday, and the numbers have accelerated so much just from then. You know, now it's staggering, even though, you know, you look at the numbers and the epidemiology charts, and I don't think it's going to be as bad as the worst case scenarios, but it's stunning to me that this quickly, we already have more cases than anywhere else in the world. And
you know, when I saw that the other day, it blew me away. We now
blown
are number
past
one.
Everyone. Yeah. And you know, people are saying, you know, we don't want to be Italy. Well, we're not Italy in terms of deaths and the death rate yet, but I do think we will surpass them in deaths. Unfortunately, it's horrible. You know, we talked about this earlier. It took 21 days to go from 0 to 1,000 deaths, and it took 2 days to go from 1,000 to 2,000 deaths. And currently, if this chart that Hopkins puts out is accurate, and I think there's a little lag there, but if it is accurate, we're at 2,191 right now. Right. So we're likely to have over 4,000 deaths. I don't know. I mean, this is shocking to say, but maybe by Tuesday night, Wednesday morning.
How often are you looking at this chart? Like, I get the sense that you are thinking about this all the time.
I do better when I don't, but it's starting to get to this point now where we're really getting serious. I mean, these cases are really exponentially growing, and this is what they said was going to happen. And I'm just trying to be realistic and wrap my head around it. And I'm also doing it to explain to my kids, who I think are getting this sort of like what you had when you went to the grocery, this sort of this false sense of, okay, we've been on lockdown. Nothing's happening.
I'm just watching Netflix and sitting in my house. Like, there's nothing at stake.
Yeah, like, what's the problem? Like, why aren't we going out? I see my friends on Snapchat, you know, cooking out. Like, why can't we just go do stuff? Nothing's happening. And I'm trying to show them the numbers and say, no. Things are happening. Things are happening at an insane rate right now. I think this week is going to be terrifying just to absorb it. I wish, and I've said this on the show many times, I wish to put it in context, it would help us a little bit, is if they would say, okay, we lost 600 people to the COVID-19 today. It's devastating. But we also lost 550 people to the flu today. We also lost 4,000 people to cancer. You know what I mean? Like, we need a little more context daily. because it's just making it worse focusing on just this one number as we watch it exponentially rise.
Agreed. I mean, I think there is, look, particularly for you, as you said, as you're educating your kids and things, it's healthy to know what's at stake and how grave the situation is. I just know how I work as a guy who's got his own anxiety issues. Like, your boy needs to think about this as little as possible. And at the same time, I need to take as many precautions as I
right.
can, and I need to be as smart as possible. And that doesn't mean that I'm ignorant to it. I'm not going out in public. I'm not hanging out with people. I'm not going to the beach or to look at the trees in D.C. and look at the leaves. But
right.
I say all that to say I can't get on that website and look this up because I'm the kind of guy that gets in his own head too much.
Yeah, yeah. No, me too. I do better when I don't track it. But by the end of each day, I am checking it out. I am sort of seeing where we're at. I am watching the pressers, and I'm judging body language. Forget about Trump. Everyone has their opinion on Trump. But I'm looking at Fauci. I'm looking at Burks. I'm looking at sort of how troubled they look. And I thought their tone took a dramatic change last week. And so that's what's kind of scaring me. Now, Fauci's going on the morning shows this morning, and he's saying, I think we mentioned this on air, he's thinking 100 to 200,000 U.S. deaths, well into the millions of cases. And it's hard to argue with the way the exponential growth is right now. So just be careful. Do the right
thing. And there's some things you could do. Look, we can't do a lot, but the things that you can do if you handle your business are going to help this one way or the other, as you heard Larry Hogan say.
Yeah.
You know, people stay home. If they don't go out, if they take this seriously, those numbers are not going to be as big as they are fearing, and we all have some obligation to do everything we can.
Yeah, I just can't believe that you're not drinking every night to cope.
I'm telling you, I'm eating. I'm cookies. You know, I'm making things I haven't eaten in a couple of years. If what I'm eating was alcohol, I would be in a really bad way. Like,
yeah,
I would
yeah.
need to go to rehab when this thing ended.
No, my wife
That's
said
how
to
much
me,
I'm eating.
She said to me this morning, I think you might be borderline alcoholic. I mean, it's the first time she's ever said that to me because it's how
you
I'm
don't want
to
hear that.
I don't really want to hear that.
Well, I had the same conversation with my wife about my eating
yeah.
about 2 days ago where she said, hey, you need to get control of this. And I'm like, this is what I'm doing right now. This is
yeah.
how I'm getting by. I don't know what to tell you. But she's right.
Yeah.
She's not wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
EB, it was fun, man. Hopefully we will chat again next week. And in the meantime, I'll be listening to you guys every morning.
Thank you, buddy. Likewise, be safe. Say hi to your wife and your baby. And I don't know. Looking forward to it. Well, I'm sure we'll be doing it next week, same time.
I don't think much has changed. Junks every day from 6 to 10. Grant and Danny from 10 to 2 if you want to hear us. Next, my normal partner, Danny Rullier and Pete Menner live.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.